Today we're on Daf Gimel, Baba Kama. We're going to start at Daf Bet and Mabet. The words, four lines from the bottom. Shem Berega. Okay, so if you remember yesterday, we ended with the statement of Rav Papa. We had it earlier, and then we were trying to figure out what did he mean. We started with there's Arba Avot Nizikin. We said a vote implies that there's Toladot. And then the question is, are the toldot going to be like in Shabbat, where the toldot have the exact same halacha as the avot, but there are subcategories, however they're treated the same? Or is it going to be like tum'ah, where the subcategories of the avot ha-tum'ah are treated differently, where you know the av is metame adam and kelim, and the subcategories, the rishon l'tum'ah is metame, right? It's not exactly subcategories, but it's the next level down, is metame just ma'achal u'mashkeh. And then we said, what's it going to be? And Rav Papa had this very unclear answer of some are and some aren't. Okay, so we're going to talk about the Arba Avot Nizikin now, the Shor, the Bor, the Mav'ev, and the Hev'er. We're going to say that some of them, their Toladot are like them, and some of them are not. So we ended yesterday by implying, we proved that by Keren, it's clear that the Toladot have the exact same criteria as the Avot, and therefore, they're going to be treated the same when it comes to halacha. Since their damage is caused in the same way and all the criteria are the same, therefore they're going to be the same. So it can't be that that's what Rav Papa said, the toladot are not kayotzei b'hen. So the assumption now of the Gemara, which we will reject today, is that it's shem v'regel. Shem v'regel, the toladot are not going to be exactly like the avot. Okay, so now, just like we did before, when we introduced the Keren, we said, where do we learn the halacha of Keren from? From the Psukim. Then we showed that, and then we went into what the Toladot are, and then we basically said, oh, well, the Toladot are the same, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to say every time, we're going to suggest something, we're going to show where it comes up in the Psukim, we're going to talk about the Toladot, and then we're going to say, oh, but those Toladot have the exact same criteria as the Avot, so they should be treated the same, until we eventually find an answer to our question. So now we say, so we'll start even a few words earlier, which is, since it can't be Keren, V'chikam or a Papa, it must be Ashen V'rega. Okay, the Aleph in Ashen means Al, on Shen V'rega. Shen V'rega hechiktiva. So hechiktiva. Where is it written Shen V'rega in the Torah? Detanya v'shilach zeharega. V'chein hu omer. So now we have to read the Pasuk. Okay, this is the Pasuk in Shmokaf Bet Dalid. Ki yaber ish sadeh okerem, vishilachet bi'iro ubi'er b'steh acher. Okay, we're going to learn from this pasuk both shein and regel. Okay, here is a person, yaber ish sadeh. Okay, and then what does he do? Shilachet bi'iro ubi'er b'steh acher. So what does this mean? It means shilachet bi'iro, shilach means regel, and we're going to see ubi'er b'steh acher means shein. There's references to that from the pasuk, not the pshat of the pasuk, but that's what they're going to explain against the pshat, that this is what it means. V'shilach zeregel, how do we know that shilach is regel? Where do we see the word shilach in connection with regel? V'cheinu omer, mishalchei regel hashor v'hachamor. Here we have a pasuk in Yishayahu Lamedbet, which says, v'shilach, just lost my place. Okay, so it says in Yishayahu Lamedbet, ashrechem zor'ei, al kol ma'im, mishalchei regel, hashor v'chamor. Okay, so here you see mishalchei regel, they're sent out with their feet. So what do you see? Regel of a, and it says hashor v'chamor. So regel goes with the shorash shilach, and there you have it. Ubi'er zo hashen, and later on that pasuk it says ubi'er b'se'acher, bi'er must be shen. What is shen? Eating. When you eat something, what do? You consume it, right? Bi'er is like to consume, like a fire consumes. So, v'cheinu omer, and here we're going to have another pasuk, ka'asher yav'er hagalal ad tumo. Okay, this is a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, okay, where they're describing what's going to happen to Beit Yeravam. They're going to describe all the things that happen. V'chreti li'aram Yeravam mashtim bakir atzur v'azu b'Yisrael. U'bi'arti acharei Beit Yeravam, and I'm going to absolutely consume Yeravam. Ka'asher yaver agalal ad tumo, like the teeth consume things until they're ad tumo, until it's totally finished.
He says here, galal, which literally means uncovered, is translated as tooth, for the tooth is alternately covered and uncovered as the mouth.
We're going to see that later. So that's going to... Right, yeah. So galal comes from giloy, they say. That's interesting. Okay.
Also, it means revealed. Down, because you eat food and it's
completely... Right, so Rashi says galal, right, the second... Right, Rashi gives both those interpretations. Rashi says either it's migulen mechuseh, or he says galal is the ri'i, which is the dung. Okay, that the teeth devour. You know, that's what it eats, or it devours the machal and it turns into galal. Oh, that's what it's saying. It eventually becomes dung. Okay, Amar Mar v'shilach zohar regel v'chein omer meshachei regel hashor v'chamor. So now we're going to go back to that pasuk of v'shilach is regel. Tama dekatav rachmana meshachei regel hashor v'chamor. Okay, the reason why, so now we're going to say, it's clear that we needed that pasuk, right? Halav hachi, b'mai mukmetle. So now we're going to say, why do we need that pasuk? In other words, if we didn't have that pasuk, what else would this pasuk have meant? V'shilach et bi'iro. Halav hachi, b'mai mukmetle. Ikeren k'tiv. Ishen k'tiv. In other words, basically, if we want to look at, we prove that this pasuk that says v'shilach biro b'yerbesteacher. So we said that v'shilach is regel, and how did we know that v'shilach is regel? Because we have this pasuk v'shachay regel ha'shor v'chamor. But why do we need the pasuk if we didn't have that v'shilach is regel? And let's say we have u'b'yerishen, and we have our pasuk that we saw yesterday about the keren. So what else could v'shilach be if not, right, process of elimination? The only thing that's left. Because the assumption is we can't understand what that pasuk is otherwise. It must be regel. So now they tell us, wait. Salkada tachamine, idi v'idi ashen. We could have thought that b'shilach b'iro b'er b'steacher is all one topic, and it's all talking about shame. V'ha de michli akarna, ha de lo michli akarna. And there's two types of shame. One is where you eat something and totally consume it. And one is where you eat something and don't totally consume it. So if we didn't know that this was regel, because we didn't use that pasuk to prove it was regel by saying regel goes with the shoresh v'shilach, what would we have thought? That the first v'shilach, v'shilach ha-bi'iro, would be shein delo michli akarna, where you bite, you know, the animal bites into something, but he doesn't completely destroy it. And then u'bi'er b'steacher, bi'er means it was consumed. So the second one comes to tell you that also shein where it's entirely consumed. And obviously, you'd have to explain why do you need both, right? So then they say, that basically it includes that it's not shein, okay? That shein is bi'er and the shilach is regel. V'hashta de'ukimna a regel, shein de'lo michli akarna minalan. In other words, without that, what would you assume? Bi'er means de'michli akarna. So if you don't have the first pasuk is v'shilach is relating to shame, but yet you need it for regel, so how do we know that you're responsible, that you're, if the animal eats something but doesn't consume it entirely? Maybe you think the old shame means he consumed it entirely. So how are you going to learn shame de lo michli akarna? So now, what's going to be our answer? Dumia de regel, we assume that since they come up in the same pasuk, shein and regel, that they're similar to each other. Ma regel, now when you trample something, do you completely destroy it? No, not necessarily. So ma regel de loshna michli akarna veloshna lo michli akarna, af shein loshna michli akarna veloshna lo michli akarna. Okay, so now you follow the train of thought. First they wanted to suggest vishilach could be shein, and there's two types of shein. Then they say, and that's why you need the pasuk to tell us that v'shilach is not shein, but it's actually regel. But once we establish that there's two types of shein, so how are we going to learn two types of shein from the second part of the pasuk, where it's really talking about something that's entirely consumed? Answer, we're going to compare it to regel, which appears in the same pasuk, and just like regel could be trampling something and destroying it completely, or not destroying it completely, shein is going to also be the same. Now we're going to go the reverse. We're going to do the same thing with the other part. Amar Mar ubi er zo ashen v'chenu omer kasher yav er galala tumo. We already saw that. That was our proof that bi'er is shein. Again, we're going to have to say tama dekatav rachmana kasher yav er galala tumo. Halav hachi. If you didn't have a pasuk, hachi b'mayu kimnala. If you didn't have this pasuk, right? Wouldn't it be obvious it's shein? Because what else could it be? We already, right? E keren k'tiv, we already learned keren. And e regel k'tiv, that if it's regel, we already learned that from v'shilach. So now, why do you need a special pasuk to teach us a shame? Wouldn't it be obvious that pi'er is shame? So again, they're going to say itzrich, same thing as before. We need it, why? Salkadat hachamina, idi v'idi a regel. You might have thought that v'shilach and u'bi'er are both regel. Now, if they're regel, again, what are we going to have to say? Well, there's two categories of regel. What are the two categories of regel? Hada azal mimela, hada shalach shluchei. Kamashmalan. You might have thought that there's regel where the animal goes on his own, and there's regel where you sent the animal out. Okay? So, you might have thought that these are two different categories, and if you didn't have Shane, you might have thought that v'shilach and u'bi'er, one is v'shilach, right, you sent him, and one is u'bi'er, he did it without you sending him. V'hashta de'okei Shane, so now, okay, fine. That's not the case, though. So again, we're going to have to say what? Since we say that the second part is Shane, so what are we going to have to now explain? How do we learn both categories of regel from one word, from the v'shilach word? V'hashta de'okei Shane, right, again, v'shilach means you sent it. So, what's going to be our question? Where do you learn regel da azla mimela minalan? How do you know that if the animal just went on its own, you're still responsible, right? It's one thing if you send the animal, but maybe if the animal wandered off on its own and did damage with its regel by trampling something, you wouldn't be chayav. So again, what are we going to answer? Dumia deshein. Mashein loshna shalcha shiluche, loshna da azla mimela, af regel, loshna shalcha shiluche, loshna azla mimela. So again, we're going to learn it out from Shane. Since they appear in the same pasuk, we're going to say regel is like Shane. When it comes to an animal eating something, it makes no difference whether you sent it or didn't send it. If he eats it, he eats it. If he doesn't eat it, he doesn't eat it. So again, regel is going to be the same. And therefore, you don't need a special pasuk just to teach it, and that's why Shane is, right, u'bi'er is free to teach us Shane. V'lichtav rachmana v'shilach, v'lo bai u'bi'er, d'mashma regel, u'mashma Shane. Mashma regel dichtiv, m'shalchei regel ashor v'chamor. U'mashma Shane dichtiv, v'shem behemot ashalach bam. Now we're going to point out, yes, we've proven that v'shilach goes with regel from the pasuk, and yes, we proved that u'bi'er goes with Shane from a pasuk. But now, why don't we suggest that just the word v'shilach, and now we're going back to why did the Torah need to write u'bi'er? The Torah could have just written v'shilach. And both terms, regel and shein, can be learned out from v'shilach. Why? Because we see regel we already learned, and shein, there's a pasuk, shein behemot ashalach bam. I will send them, right? I will send the shein behemot. It's one of the, right, it comes up in Dvarim, it's one of the Tochacha. This will, it's Mizei Ra'a, V'luchumei Reshef, V'ketem Miriri, V'shem Be'emot HaShalach Bam, Im Chamatz O'Chalei Afar. Okay, it's one of these punishments that will happen. And here you see, Shalach goes with Shem. So now what do they have to tell us? Why would we need, right, we could have just had V'shilach, and we could have learned both Regel and Shem. So now we say, because I lav krayitera, you can probably guess this yourself. Hava mina, oha, oha. Right? If you only had one word, you might have thought it's either regel or shame. O regel de hezekol matzoi. Now, why would you think one over the other? Well, regel has the fact that hezekol is matzoi. It's very common. O shame de yesh hana'a lehezekol. Or shame because the animal benefits from the eating, from the damage he causes. So in that case, you might say that we can learn both. Because you wouldn't know, right, if each one has something, so you wouldn't know which one to learn out from. So now they say, itzdrich, salkadat hachamina, hane mile hechad deshalach shluche, aval azla mimela lo kamashmalan. If you just had the word b'shilach and it referred, let's say, to both of them, but you still need the second part of the pasuk because the v'shilach sounds like it's only if you send it, whereas u'bi'er comes to include a case where the animal goes on his own. So you might have thought that even shame and regel would only be chayav if you sent it because it all is learned out from the word v'shilach. So therefore, they add the word u'bi'er to teach that it doesn't matter how we did it, whether you sent it or it went on its own, no matter what, you're chayav. Okay, and that's why you need two parts of the pasuk. Okay, that was all a major tangent just trying to tell us what's the makor for Shane and Rego. We still haven't answered our question about, if you remember where are we starting from, when Rav Papa said the toldotehem lav kayotze behen in some cases, which case is he referring to? Right now the Gemara's assumption is it's referring to Shein Beregel. Now we're going to reject that assumption. Toladav deShein Maihi. So what's a toladav Shein? Nitchachecha bekotel lahana'ata v'timpa peirot lahana'ata. Okay, two examples here. One is the animal rubs up against a wall to make him, you know, as a pleasure type of activity for his body. It's a pleasurable activity to rub his body up against a wall. And as he does it, he damages the wall, right? It wears the wall away. Which, remember, what it makes Shein unique, the animal is getting hana'ah from the action. So, he doesn't only get hana'ah when he eats something, but he could get hana'ah from that. V'timfa peirot lahana'ata, or drools on top of fruits, also in a pleasurable way. So, Maishna regel, if these are the toladot, so what's our assumption now? Toldotehem lav kayotze behem, that's what we're trying to prove. But now the Gemara is going to say, just like Karen, Maishna Shein, what makes Shein unique that it's we're chayav for? Deyesh hana'a lehezeko, umamoncha, ushmirato alecha. Number one, it gets hana'a. Number two, it's your property. Number three, you're supposed to watch it. Hanenami, these two cases we just brought of the toladot, yesh hana'a lehezekan, umamoncha, ushmiratan alecha. So it has all same three criteria, and therefore, ela, tolada deshein keshein, the toladot must be the exact same halacha. Here the assumption is that, like in Shabbat, you know, maybe it's the same as Shabbat basically, which is there's these categories, and then we have subcategories, but they're no less chamor than the category itself, right? You're doing the same act basically, just, you know, there's maybe it's similar in one way, it's got. So here also, these all, if you're talking about responsibility, you're just as equally responsible for this animal, whether he's doing the av or whether he's doing the toladah. So there should be absolutely, why would you think, now again, what's going to be, what's the assumption? We talked about this back when. If ein toldotehen kayotze behem, maybe you'll be responsible for less, you pay part of the net damages that you would have paid if it was, let's say you're supposed to pay chatzi nezek, so you pay a quarter nezek. But why would you pay a quarter nezek in this case? Or if you're supposed to pay nezek shalem, so you would only pay half. So why would that be? So therefore, we reject that. V'chi ka'amar papa tolada deregel, tolada deregel mai. Oh, sorry. So now they're saying, so therefore, tolada kashen kashen, v'chi ka'amar papa. So now again, process of elimination, what's left? When he said it, he must be talking about tolada deregel. So now they say, well, tolada deregel maihi. Let's try to figure this one out. Hezika baguf derech hilucha, b'sa'ara derech hilucha, b'shlif she'aleha, b'prumbia she'befia, b'zug she'betzavara. So now, here's a list of them, okay? He damages with his body while it's walking. In other words, instead of with his feet, you know, he knocks into something as he's walking. With his sa'arot derech hilucha, his hair gets tangled on something and pulls it, right? Imagine, you know, this happens all the time, a hair gets stuck on a button, you know? So let's say his hair gets tangled onto something nearby. As he's walking, it pulls. He certainly wasn't intending the damage, right? But that's regel, as it's walking. It's the same type thing. Bishlif she'aleha, right? What's the translation of the shlif? The saddle, what did they translate it?
The pack that's on her back.
Okay, or the bit that's in its mouth, or the bell that's on its neck. Okay, so again, all these things, maishna regel. What's unique about regel? Hezeko matzoi. It's a common occurrence that this would happen. Uma muncha, it belongs to you. Ushmiratana, ushmirato alecha. You're supposed to watch from these things. So hane nami, all these things also. Hezekam matzoi, uma muncha, ushmiratana alecha. So therefore, ela tolada de regel kiregel. Okay, so now we've rejected all three possibilities. But wait, there's a lot more possibilities, right? You wonder why they started with these three. And they didn't go into, right, we have shor, bor, maveh, have air, right? Right now we've dealt with basically shor, unless you say that maveh is shein, and then we've dealt with shor and shein, and maveh. But either way, there's still some other avot melachot. So, now we're going to suggest, so v'chi ka'amar rav papa, right, you could make a whole suggestion. I didn't think about this enough, but you can think about it, why this is the order that the Gemara went in. It started assuming we're talking about shor. Then it's going to move from there to bor, right? And within shor, it went into Karen, Shein, and Regel. then I can understand with him, sure, by the way. Karen, Shane, and Regal, Karen is the most, right, the most responsible, you would think. You know, Karen is the way you really think about it.
It's also the most violent.
It's also the most violent, and it's also the one written in the Torah as Ki Yigach. You know, that's the classic case. But within the order of why they do it here, I don't know, but it's something to think about. Okay, so then, and that's why they immediately assumed in the beginning that we were only talking about those three, right? And then only later, when they rejected all three, did they start going down the list. And then why did they choose this order to go down the list? V'chi kamar apapa, he must have been talking about a tolada debor. Okay, so let's go, what's a tolada debor? Remember, a bor is you dig a pit in the middle of Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Now, one thing we're going to see that's unique about a pit, generally you dig it, and then you leave it. You're mafkir it. It doesn't belong to you, right? You dug it and you left it there. So that's it. So now we're going to talk about tolada debor mainihu. Ilema av asara v'tolada tish'a. Okay, maybe you'll suggest that the av malacha is a bor that's 10 tefachim deep. Now this goes back to sukkah and eruvim, where we're talking about rishu yod, and something that's 10 tefachim is, you know, a serious, like a rishut. But if it's less than 10 tefachim, then maybe it's only asher midorabanan. Okay, so 10 tefachim deep would be asher midoraita, 9 tefachim deep, or obviously less than that, would be asher midorabanan. And maybe that's the av and that's the toledah. So now they say, to say that that's the distinction, lo tet ktive, velo yug ktive. It never says in the Torah anything about this bor having to be 10 tefachim or 9 tefachim. In other words, you can't distinguish d'oraita d'rabbanan between that. Halokashya. So now, one second. So ilam lo tet ktive. Halokashya, v'hameit yihi yelo amarachmana. V'kim lahu rabbanan yud avdamita tet nizikin. So now they're going to say, no. Well, here's the difference between tet and yud. The Torah established v'hameit yiyelo. Okay, that's in the pasuk about bor. Okay, ba'al abor yishalem kesef yashiv lebala v'hameit yiyelo. So now, what do they assume? That when they talked about it, kim lahu rabbanan, what causes mita? A boar that's 10 tefachim is enough to cause damages of death. But if it's 10 tefachim, if it's 9 tefachim, a 9 tefachim deep boar is not going to cause someone to die if he falls in the boar. So therefore, 9 would be for nizikin. So tet nizikin avde, mita lo avde. Okay? And therefore, we could say that yud is the av, and tet is the tolada. But sof, they say, no, that's not a good answer, because ze av lemita v'ze av lenizikin. This can't work, because when it comes to nizkei bor, there's two types of nizakim of bor. One is nizakim that causes death, and one is nizakim that causes damages, and you're both equally responsible, and you're responsible for the death, and you're responsible for the damages. Whichever one you do, you have to pay. You know, it might be different what you pay, but you have to pay either for death or for damages, and therefore they're both av malacha. In other words, we tried to say that maybe with imbor, there's an av of 10, which causes death, and there's a tolada of 9, which causes damages. But they say, no. The Torah was talking about both damages and death, and therefore all of this is av, and therefore none is a tolada. So let's try again to find a tolada. Ela av novasakino masao shenicham b'reshut harabim v'iziku. It must be that you leave something in reshut harabim, that it's not something that you dug. It's something that's, you know, above the ground. You leave a knife. You leave a rock. You leave a big package. And what happens? Somebody trips over them and gets damaged, injured. So now they have to say, well, hechidami. Id afkirinu, now we're going to learn this machloka Rav and Shmuel about whether bor has to be that you were mafkir, like I mentioned before. You dig a pit and then you walk away. So generally, a bor is something that you're mafkir. So we're going to see now that there's a machlok at Rav and Shmuel about, let's say you leave a rock in the middle of Rosh Hashanah Rabim, but you intended to come back for it. You weren't being mafkir your rock. You plan to come back and get it. Are you chayav in that case or not? That's the machlok at Rav and Shmuel. So ida afkirinu, bein l'Rav, bein l'Shmuel, hainu bor. If you were mafkir, both Rav and Shmuel agree that's definitely bor. If you take an object and you leave it in the middle of the street and you say, I'm never coming back for this, clearly, that's a tolada of bor. And then we'd have our tolada of bor. But idi lo afkirinu, if you weren't mafkir this item, So Ila Shmuel da Amar Kulam Mibaro Lamadu Hainu Bor. Shmuel holds, even if you're not mafkir, it's still a tolada of bor, and then it would be bor. And therefore we count definitely count also as a tolada of bor. The Ila Rav da Amar Kulam Misharo Lamadnu. Rav thinks that leaving something that you own in Rishud HaRabim, it's very interesting, machlokah, we'll deal with it more later also. What does he say? If you still own it, then it's like shur, because what's shur? Shur means something you own is causing damages. So if you put your, I take my marker and I leave it in Rishud HaRabim and I plan to come back for it, meaning it's owned by me and it damages someone, it's like a shur. Because a shur means my possession, as a shur includes not just things that are alive, even inanimate objects that I leave that still are in my possession, that would be shur, okay? So either way, you're chayav. It's just a matter of, are you talking about bor or are you talking about shur? But either which way, what does he say? Hainu shur. Okay, so it's either going to be bor or it's going to be shur. Nobody thinks you're not as responsible. So now again, what are we going to say here? So we've proven that leaving something in Rishud HaRabim, your Evan, Sakin, Masa, something like that, you leave it in Rishud HaRabim. Either you're mafkir it, in which case it's a toladav bor, or you're not mafkir it, in which case it's either a toladav bor or it's a toladav deshor. Either which way, what are we going to say again? The same thing we've been saying all along. Maishna bor sheken tchilat asiyato lenezek umamuncha ushmirato alecha haneinami. Tchilat asiyatan lenezek umamuncha ushmiratan alecha. Okay, so now, just like boar, what makes boar unique? From the moment that you created it, it was meant to damage. It's your property, and you're supposed to be responsible for it. Also these, now here it's a little different. You wouldn't exactly say tchilatata siyatan lenezek, right? A rock, I mean, maybe you could argue a sakin could be tchilatata siyatan lenezek, but I assume what they mean here is when you put it down in Rishud HaRabim, it immediately is potentially could cause damage. And it's your mamon, and shmiratan alecha. So therefore, ela tolada debor kibor. Okay? Now here it's a weird thing also to call it mamoncha, because we said maybe it's not your mamoncha because you made it ownerless. But I think it means it was your mamon at some point before you made it ownerless. V'chika amar rapapa, so now, if tolada debor is kibor, so now what are we left with? V'chika amar rapapa atolada demave. So maybe when Rav Papa said it, he was talking about a toladav mav'eh. Okay, now we get to our famous machloket. What is mav'eh? My nihu. Ila Shmuel da amar mav'eh zeshen. Well, if you're going to say, like Shmuel, the mav'eh zeshen, well, how kimna toladav zeshen kashen? We already rejected that one. We already said, shen, the toladav shen is like shen, so that doesn't work. And ila Rav da amar mav'eh ze adam. Rav says mav'eh is damage is caused by a person. So, if we're going to say that, so now you'd have to explain, well, my avot u my toladot ipe. What kind of avot melachot, what kind of avot nizikin are there by Adam and toladot nizikin? Whatever, whoever thought of such a thing. So now they're going to suggest something. V'chi tema, maybe you'll say, av is ne'or, and tolada is yashen. The av melacha is when you're awake, and the tolada is when you're sleeping. That even when you're sleeping and you cause damages, you're responsible. And then maybe we would say, well, when you're sleeping, the damages you cause, you shouldn't be as responsible. One could make a logical argument, right? That when you're sleeping, the damages you cause, you're not as responsible for as you are, and there would be our answer. But not to worry, we still don't have an answer, because Vahatna, there's a very famous Mishnah that says, Adam mu'ad la'olam, bein er, bein yashen. A person is always mu'ad, whether he's awake, whether he's sleeping. Even if you're sleeping, you're responsible for damage you cause. Okay, you're sleeping in a bed, you knock your arm to the side, there was a cot on the night table, you knocked it down, a pitcher, you know, a jar, a pottery, something, you smashed it, right? You're responsible. So now they suggest, well, maybe you could come up with a different one. Ela akicho v'niyu. Maybe from your phlegm and your spit. Okay, maybe if you know, what could you do? You could ruin clothing with it. Okay, let's say. So let's say you cough up phlegm and it comes out of your mouth and it goes onto somebody's clothes. Maybe that, like, it, you know, was this involuntary act that came out of your mouth and you couldn't control it. So maybe that's what we're talking about. So now they say hechidami. Okay, this is going to be an interesting one. Ibahade da azle kamazke. If you're going to say as it's going, like on its way out of your mouth, okay, the phlegm is coming out of your mouth, and as it's coming out of your mouth, it damaged. Kochohu. That's called It came from me, basically. Because as it's coming out, it's still considered part of me, and therefore I'm obviously going to be fully responsible. Let's say I spit something out, my phlegm, and it's on the floor. Okay, I said very pleasant. It's on the floor, and then somebody, you know, somebody's shirt gets damaged from it once it was already on the floor. So now, Bein l'Rav, Bein l'Shmuel, Hainu Bur. Whether you're Rav or whether you're Shmuel, what are you going to say? This is like leaving an obstacle on the street. It damages something. And clearly, right, even the one who said that you have to be mafkir in order for it to be bor, well, nobody wants their phlegm back. Everybody's going to be mafkir that. Okay, so therefore, it's clearly bor. In which case, again, we've already proven you're fully responsible. Either it's kocho or it's bor. No matter what, you're going to be fully responsible. So we're still stuck. So therefore, we conclude right now, Ela toladadim avekim aveh, however you read, number one, however you understand aveh, whether it's shen, whether it's adam. Then when you get to adam, how do you understand the toladah, whether it's yashen or whether it's kichobaniyu, no matter what, you're going to be responsible. So, again, now we're going to suggest another one. Remember, we've gone with, now we've done everything except for hev'er, esh. V'chika amara papa toladadim esh. So now we're going to say it must be, that's the only thing left, it must be fire. So now they say, Toladad Eish Mayanihu. What is Eish? Ilema of Novasakino Masaoshi Nicham Birosh Gago. Notice this is going to be a little bit different. You take your Evan, your Sakin, your Masa, you leave it on your roof. Vinaflu Biruach Mitsuya. And a wind comes by. Now we're going to learn a lot about Ruach Mitsuya, Ruach She'ena Mitsuya. Okay, Ruach Mitsuya is a typical wind that you could expect would happen. A Ruach She'ena Mitsuya is like a tornado, right? You weren't expecting a tornado to happen. You didn't have meteorologists who told you what was coming, right? And a crazy wind came and blew something that never would have blown away otherwise. But now we're talking about if it blows in a regular wind, v'yiziko. Okay, so now you have this item. It's just like a fire, right? It started in one place. It moves to a different place, not because, right, it was beyond your control. But, right, you had started the fire, and then it kind of spread. So like here, you put your object down at the top of a roof where it could have potentially fallen, and as it fell, it damaged. So hechidami. I bahade da'azlu kamazke. If, as it was going, right, it's going down from the roof, and on its way down, it knocks into something and breaks it. So hainu esh, that's exactly esh. And then where are we going to go with this, obviously? Maishna esh dekoach acher mu'u. So just like Eish, where there's some other power moving it, right? Fire has its own internal power. This object has the Ruach that's coming, and it's your property, and you're supposed to be watching it. So this is exactly the same, and therefore, Ela Toladad Eish Keish. Okay, so now we said, you have to assume that Toladad Eish is like Eish, so now we're still stuck. So now we've gone through everything. So where are we going to go from here? So now, V'chika Amara Papa, a Toladad Regel. So it must be talking about Toladad Regel. So now they say, what do you mean? Regel Hau Kimna, Toladad Regel Keregel. That's where we started. Why are you going back to where we started? So now what do they answer? B'chati Nezek Tsroro, Tehilchata Gemirala. Okay, what does this mean? This is a whole concept we're going to see a lot also, which is, this is if a troward or pebbles, shore is walking on the street, and as it's walking, it kicks pebbles. And the pebbles, right, this is what we would call grama. Right? He indirectly causes damages. He kicks the pebbles, and the pebbles knock into something and break it, or hit someone in the eye and, you know, knocks his eye out, or something like that. So now, there's a hilchata gemira, meaning it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. It was a tradition passed down that what? That when it comes to din sroro, you're chayev in chatzi nezek. Okay? You're chayev to pay half damages. Now, amai kare le toladah de regel. Why is this called a toladah regel? And then what's this mashma'ut? Now, finally, by the way, we're going to get our answer. What does it mean that it's a toladah de regel? Until now, toladah de regel has been something that's exactly like regel. This isn't exactly like regel. This is an outcome, right? A subcategory of regel, because his regel causes the tsroro to move, which then caused the damage. In what way is it like regel? In other words, in what way is it different than regel, we're going to see? L'shalem min ha'aliyah. Okay, now, let's go back. We have to understand some basic stuff about paying damages. When you pay chatzi nezek, and you, okay, you, your shore damages another shore. So let's say the shore damage is worth 50 shekels. Okay? There's two shvarim. Okay? Your shore is worth, make him worth 20. Okay, your shore is worth 20. You don't have such a valuable shore. The shore damage is worth 50. You have to pay chatzi nezek. So how much do you pay? 50. Because you, I'm sorry, 25. You pay 25 because you're paying half of the 50 of the one you damaged. But there's a halacha that you only have to pay from the goof of your shore. Now, in theory, it means you have to give him your shore. But we don't do that. But what do you have to do? You have to pay from the value of your shore. What's the problem in this case? The value of your shore is 20 and you owe 25. The halacha is that you don't have to pay any more than your shore is valued at. So you would only, in this case, pay 20. That's what it means, l'shalem migufo. The chidush of chatzi nezek tsroro, which we're now going to learn is eino kayotze bahen, okay, it's not the same, is that you have to pay min ha'aliyah. What does min ha'aliyah mean? From the idit, from the best of your land, meaning you're going to have to pay the 25, whether or not your shore is worth that amount or not. That's the chidush here, okay? So now we finally found a case where the tolada is not exactly like it. Okay, so now it's going to be okay, but we're going to see.
Why would it be more?
Why would it be more? So
because it seems
right.
Like it's more stringent or more...
Right, so the way they explain it, really, it's not a satisfying answer. Maybe we'll see more of this later when we get to the sugya, it's on Yud Zayin. It was a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. When we have a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, they establish criteria. We don't always really know why. Maybe we'll get into some answers and stuff. I didn't really look it up so much. But yeah, so we'll keep it in mind. But it's more the way they see it. This is the way it was established. So now they're going to say, well, maybe not necessarily that this is the case. Okay? L'rava mibaya le l'rapapa pshita le. But Rava questioned this. He wasn't sure. Was it migufo or min aliyah? As you're assuming, the Gemara, you're assuming that it's min aliyah, and that would be our answer. But Rava wasn't sure if it was min aliyah or not. Rapapa, it was pashut too. But Rava, it was a question. So therefore, l'rava mibayale, amai karele tolada de regel. So if you're going to say l'rava, who had the question and wasn't sure that this was any different than regel. So amai kari le tolada de regel. So why did they call this a tolada of regel? Lipotra b'reshut harabim. In order to say that it's patur if it happens in reshut harabim. Okay, because regel of an animal is put... I'm trying to double check something. I can't explain something 100%. Give me a minute. I think regel is also paid. Right. It's called a toladav regel because it's like regel, but it's different than regel because it's only chatzi nezek. In other words, that's what we're saying. We're saying here, chatzi nezek tsrorot is a toladav regel. How do we know it's a toladav regel? Because it's unique in that it's not paid migufo, it's paid mina aliyah. That's what makes it a toladav regel. And what makes it different than regel? Because it's only chatzi nezek. In other words, now you see it's a toladav shalav kayotzebo. But if you say that it's not clear, like Rava said, I don't know, is it migufo or min aliyah, then it wouldn't necessarily be a toladav regel. So now they say, no, even Rava would say it's a toladav regel, because what makes regel unique? You're patur from regel and reshut harabim. If somebody left their stuff in reshut harabim and your animal trampled it, your animal's not responsible because animals go through reshut harabim all the time. You're only responsible in reshut hayachid. So therefore, like if the animal goes into someone else's property and tramples their stuff, therefore we're going to say that this is the same. Chatzi nezek tsroret is also patur bereshut harabim. So according to Rava, that's what makes it a toladav regel. Okay? But again, the point being that it's a toladav regel, however you see it, however you view it being a toladav regel, but it's a toladav regel that the criteria, right, the payment is only chatzi nezek. You only pay half and you don't pay whole damages. Right? Even if it's a shor muad.
Regel is always from the aliyah?
Right, regal is always from the aliyah. Yes.
Okay, and
because it says metav sadeh metav karmo yishalem.
So
okay.
Gufo would be for what?
So it would be, I guess, for the other kind of damages. Yeah, we're going to get into all this later. I don't have it 100% all yet. But I assume it's for all other types of damages other than regal, but I'm not 100% sure. We'll see. Okay. Hamave vahever. So now we're going to see the machloket straight on. My mave, before we just referenced it. What is mave? Rav amar mave ze adam, ushmuel amar mave ze hashen. So now we're going to have to prove, where do we get from the word mave, which seems kind of unclear what this means, to shen or adam. Rav amar mave ze adam dechtiv, amar shomer ata boker vagam laila, into va'ayun ba'ayo. Okay, into va'ayun ba'ayo, the assumption is, the pasuk from Yeshayahu, if he inquires into it. Okay, now who inquires? A human being, right? That's the whole thing about what makes a human being unique, that he can inquire. He has a sechel to do that. So therefore, they say, from inquire, we get to Adam. Ushmuel amar mavez ha'shen dechtiv, ech nechpesu esav niv'u matzpunav. Means his hidden things were revealed. Sometimes they're hidden. This is where we get where Rashi got it from before Rashi quoted it. Sometimes they're hidden, sometimes they're revealed. So my mashma, that's what they're going to say now. Where do we get this from the pasuk? Kedimatargim Rav Yosef, ikadun itbalish esav, itgalin matmurohi. Okay, when Esav was, let me translate that word, when Esav was ransacked, then his hidden things were revealed. And that's about a mouth, right? Sometimes your mouth is open, sometimes it's closed. So sometimes your teeth are revealed and sometimes they're not revealed. Some of the Mefreshim explain that it's dafka, as he's eating, what was hidden is revealed, right? His teeth come out when he wants to eat something. Okay, so now we're going to have a back and forth. We rub my time alo amar kishmuel. Why did Rav hold like Shmuel? So now we're going to have a grammar lesson here. Amar lecha mikatani niv'e. Niv'e means, right, niv'e is a hifil. It's the causative. It was revealed. Doesn't say that. It says mav'e, which seems more active. Ushmuel, my time alo amar kirav, right? Adam would be the more active, and this thing about it being revealed is passive. So why does Ushmuel hold like Rav? Amar lecha mikatani bo'e. Mav'e is like neither here nor there. He thinks that mav'e is passive also. He says if they wanted to say inquire and it's man, it would be bo'e. It would be something more active. So michte cry lo kimar daike, but lo kimar daike. So now that we've proven that the word could go either which way, it could be called passive, it could be not passive, clearly grammar is not what was motivating them. So Rav my time alo amar kishmuel, he must have had a different reason. And what does he say? Tana shor, b'chomile de shor. Shmuel, Rav said, look at the Arvavot Nezikin. It says shor. Shor should include everything about a shor. Why would you start distinguishing and put shein separately? It doesn't make any sense. Ushmuel nami, hatana le shor. So Shmuel, what are you going to say about that? That's a good claim. Amar Rav Yehuda, tana shor likarno, umav elishino, v'hachi ka'amar. Lo ria karen she'en hana alezeko, ki ria shein she'yesh hana alezeko. V'lo ria shein she'en kavanato lazik, ki ria karen she'kavanato lazik. So now he says, Shane and Karen each have something very unique about it, and that's why they needed to be said separately. Shane has the fact that there's Hana'ah, and Karen has the fact that it's Kavanah Lahazik, like we said before. You know, he's trying to be, it's a violent act. So each one would need to be said separately. Now, obviously, you'd have to ask, well, what about Regel? Right? Why is it Regel if we're going to have Karen mentioned, we're going to have Shane mentioned, where's Regel in the whole story, and why isn't that mentioned? But anyway, now the Gemara is going to go on about a couple of Chomer, and couldn't you have learned one from the other? And you'll go on with that tomorrow.